Yeah, by golly, I'm Prospector Pat in Frontierland. And when I'm not looking for gold in Big Thunder Mountain, I'm listening to the Disney Parks Podcast. Yahoo!
Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Parkhopper John from WDWParkhoppers.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times. And get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Years ago, a magical place was born. A place of enchantment and adventure, laughter and imagination, where new worlds of joy and wonder just waited to be discovered. And in this marvelous kingdom, there lived many delightful friends who made our dreams come true. I once had the privilege to know the dreamer, Walt Disney. His imagination inspired and built his dreams into reality for all of us to share. Today, we celebrate and share the legacy of Walt Disney, filled with pixie dust and princesses, with fairy tales and fantasies, practically perfect in every way.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. My name is Parkhopper John, and I am joined by my cohort in crime, the co-hostess with the mostest, Mr. Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com. How you doing, pal?
Now, this is weird, because we are both...
in the same room.
In the same room at the same time. First time ever.
Yes, we've been in the same building before.
We've been in the same building.
But not in the same room.
Not in the same room.
Right. So, to give you a little background before we really launch into it, we are here for the hashtag Awaken Summer event. We're recording this live at Disney's Boardwalk Resort in the spacious room 3212, or 2312.
Come visit us.
Come visit us. We won't be here by the time you get here.
Yeah.
Well, the couple staying here are going to be really, really freaked out. but we're here for the Awakened Summer Media event here at Walt Disney World. It started yesterday. So we're recording this on a Tuesday. So that's why we didn't have a show out. We didn't have a blab out. We've been at Disney, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in a little bit. We'll break some of that stuff down. So that's where we are. So let's kind of get into some of the nuts and bolts. We got to talk about our great sponsor.
Yep. And as always, this show is sponsored by...
Theme Park Concierge.
This show is sponsored by Theme Park Concierge. If you are looking for a way to travel with your family and have less pain and agony, then Theme Park Concierge is for you. They will get your fast passes, set up your dining reservations. There's a whole little survey kind of thing that they make you kind of fill out. And it tells you what you like to do, what you don't like to do. And then they can plan the whole itinerary for you and your group. So if you're looking to do this in Disney World, they can do Disney World, Universal, Space Coast, Legoland, Busch Gardens. And they can also now do Disneyland. Out in California, they have different rates for each of the parks. But go to Theme Park Concierge with an S.com or give Ramon and his team a call at 407-257-9973. You can visit them on Facebook at www.facebook.com/ Ramon VIP Concierge. And check them out. I think you will be pleasantly surprised, and tell them that the Disney Parks Podcast sent you for 10% off your booked VIP concierge.
Yep, and it's totally worth it. It's great. Ramon's got a great team, and we love working with guys like Ramon. Hey, I want to let you know, the reality is, it's sad, but one of the most overwhelming parts about planning your Walt Disney World vacation could really be choosing your dining. There's over 300 restaurants and snack locations to choose from. And so our good friends over at Dining at Disney have put together an Epcot dining guide, which is designed to make it as easy as possible for you to plan your dining days at Epcot. So in the guide, you're going to find everything you need to research, plan, and ultimately enjoy your Epcot dining experience. And this way, once you arrive at the park, all you have to do is worry about making your fast passes. Everything else is planned out for you. So make sure that you click on the link on the Disney Parks Podcast website, or you can visit them direct over at diningatdisney.com. And when you check out, make sure that you use the code DisneyParks, and you're going to save $3 when you check out. So I think that brings the total down to like $6 and some change. So it's totally worth it. And the cool thing is, it's a PDF, so you can download it to your phone. Even if you don't make a dining reservation, you can, know a little bit better if you want to walk up to maybe like a quick service. So that's a great resource over at diningatdisney.com. Don't forget, Disney Parks, when you check out, save $3.
Okay, here's the secret. I'm going to tell everybody's secret, so don't tell anybody.
Disney Vacation Club. Best secret.
Best kept secret.
Everybody knows about.
The back of every bus knows it.
That's right.
All right. The secret is this. There has been a secret Disney by the Numbers t-shirt.
You kept the secret from us.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
But we are now opening it up to the Disney Parks podcast listeners. So if you are a Disney Parks podcast listener and you are looking for a authentic, one-of-a-kind, never-to-be-seen-again t-shirt, then we have a club for you. This is how it works. Usually around the first of the month, we release a new t-shirt designed by a Disney design person that we have. They release the shirt. We post it on the shirt. You typically have until the 10th of the month to order that shirt. After that, the shirt is done, kaput, and then the shirts usually get delivered around the end of the month. So these are not shirts that we keep up there and you have to order them. If you don't order it by the 10th, it is gone, never to be seen again. And then the next month, on or around the 1st, we post a new shirt. You'll have until the 10th to order it. Now, here's the thing. There's a couple of great things about this club. One is you only buy the shirts that you want. This is not a subscription club where you have to subscribe each month and you get a shirt whether you like it or not. No. These are custom shirts. Like I said, we only do the one run. We print them, and then we're done. And you don't have to buy any shirt that you don't want. You only buy the shirts that you like. Now, for right now, there's a blog post on the Disney Parks Podcast website. You can find that blog post, and it links up to all the information. Or you can go to Disney by the Numbers. And there's two things that you need to do. One is fill out the member form. That tells us that you want to be a member, and it gives us your shipping information and things like that so we can ship you your shirts. And if you do want the shirt, you probably won't be able to get this month's shirt, but you'll be in the mailing, in the email list for the next run, and you'll be able to get those shirts. Up there, I don't know. We also have a Facebook group, too. You can join the Facebook group, and that is in the sign-up membership thing, where you can put in your email and we can sign you up. And then you can see some of the past shirts. John will tell you he's wearing a shirt right now.
Yes.
The shirts usually get a lot of attention in the parks.
Yeah, depending on the shirt.
Right.
Some of the ones that have gotten the most attention was there's a Jedi Mickey that gets a lot of attention, especially when we had the Star Wars weekends. But the ones that really get the most attention are like the Carousel of Progress, mm-hmm. some of the Walt Disney shirts. Some of the more classic,
attractions.
We have cast members stop us all the time. Hey, where'd you get that shirt?
Yeah.
We usually tell them Tatooine Traders. We're cruel.
So that's it. Sign up if you want. Like I said, you're not obligated to buy anything you don't want. It's not a subscription service. You just buy the ones that you want. All right, moving on to our next meetup, which will be in May. And listen, I now have 9 boxes at my house, at least 9, maybe more, of kites. The most awesome people over at X-Kite, Rich and Anna, actually handpicked some kites for our meetup. They're all Disney and Star Wars related. I think there's even some Marvel stuff in there. But we have like mini kites from like a 24-inch kite to 54-inch kites. And I am now telling you, everybody will get a kite.
Everyone gets a kite. You get a kite. You get a kite. Everyone gets a kite.
So this is what we're doing. On May 14th, I can't even remember the time now.
From 3 to 6.
3 to 6. 3 to 6. Meet us at 1050 Celebration Avenue in Celebration, Florida. You can Google that or put it in your map app or whatever GPS thing you have. And it will take you, it's right next to a church, it's an open field, and we are going to fly kites. And I think we're going to have a great time. I know we're going to have a great time.
Whoever gets a kite caught in the church steeple is a $25 gift card from www.parkhoppers.com.
I don't think that would be a good idea.
I don't either, but I just want to see if it happens.
But I am telling you, come bring friends. Bring the kids. Bring lots of kids. Bring lots of family.
Bring kids you don't know.
Yeah, bring kids you don't know. Bring everybody you know.
Want a kite? Get in the car. Let's go.
So if you want to go check out the kites that we're going to go fly, go to xkites.com, and you can see the huge assortment of kites that they have for sale. And it was funny because even this weekend I was in Walmart.
Your favorite place.
My favorite place on earth, doing my weekly run. And there was a huge Walmart display, and I'm like, yeah, I got them.
Yeah, I have those. Thank you.
Got X-Kites at home. Thanks, right. Thanks for letting me know. So I'm telling you, bring the whole family out for this event because I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I haven't flown a kite in years, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I haven't either.
The last thing we want to encourage you to do is we just this week, yesterday, got the announcement. We are live on Google's podcast network. So Google Play. We're available there. We're also available on Stitcher Radio. Always we're available on iTunes. Please rate us, review us in all those places. Let those services know that you love the Disney Parks podcast there. Let us know how we're doing, and that really helps us come up to the front pages of all those sites. So please give us some stars, give us some thumbs up, whatever rating system they're using. We would certainly appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening via those platforms. And, we would be remiss if we didn't give a shout out to our good friends over at Sorcerer Radio. Celebrating 15 years this year, you can listen to us on Sunday afternoons. We're so grateful to be a part of those teams, Kristen, Al, John, and all those guys over there. Just amazing group of people, and we're very privileged to be a part of that network. So lots of different places you can find us, and we're going to be really pushing our YouTube channel. We're going to start putting some really cool videos up on YouTube, so I want to make sure that you check us out there. So I think that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
So we wanted to start off the show talking a little bit about the event that we're at, because this is a pretty big deal. This is their Walt Disney World every year does a big summer rollout of all the new attractions. So ostensibly, we would be getting opening dates. We would be getting ride experiences. We would be getting more information than what has already been released to the internet. People were expecting to hear, open dates for Pandora or the Winter Summer House for Anna and Elsa over in Epcot. Yeah, no.
Or Soarin'.
Yeah, or Soarin' over the world. Well, yeah, no, none of that. None of that stuff.
Restaurant dates.
Yeah, no.
SDK.
Yeah, no. We've had it's been a very interesting, and I don't want to speak negatively because they've been treating us really well. Mm. But this year has been a little light.
Yeah.
Now, we have yet to go over to the Animal Kingdom. That's the event that we're doing tonight. Again, we're recording this.
I think we're going to see less.
We're recording this on a Tuesday.
I think we've seen the best of what Disney's going to do this summer.
Yeah. We're recording this on a Tuesday. The event actually started yesterday on Monday afternoon. And the check-in procedure, I don't even want to begin to start that story.
That's a different podcast.
That's going to be a different podcast. But we had a great event over at Hollywood Studios, and George Caligaridis greeted everybody. We had a little dessert thing. We had
Well, it started at Disney Springs, but
dinner. Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot we were at Disney Springs. So, yeah, let's talk about that. So, we're at Disney Springs. What did we find out at Disney Springs?
Nothing.
Right.
They showed two acts at a Cirque, and I think you kind of saw some of that already previously.
Yeah, they did the opening entrance where all the actors and all the performers and the acrobats came out, and then they did the B-boy, which is the break dancing.
Right.
And, you know, I think they might have done the aerial act or the new aerial act. So they basically brought out the two new acts, which was great. And then they did a meet and greet, a Q&A, better stated, with a lot of the performers. So that was really great getting to see those guys and seeing them outside of their personas. It makes the performances a little bit more enjoyable because now there's a connection point for me. But, you know, Cirque du Soleil. Wonderful. If you're coming to Disney and you're thinking about going to the show, see it. Once you've seen it about a half dozen times and, you know, as a local, it's kind of always there. So I'm glad they're adding more stuff to it. But not the biggest deal in the world. And then we went to Tony's.
Cirque has got some really great shows.
Absolutely.
I'd love to see it come to Orlando, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, Lanuba is going to always be Lanuba.
I'd love to see, you know, the big, the one with the water tank.
Yeah.
I would love to see that come.
But yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, all the Cirque shows are so unique, and they basically, if they're a permanent facility,
this
they build a facility
love
around
to see
it.
Cirque do.
Rotate the shows?
Not even that. If you're going to have an awesome show like they did the Beatles show, I'd love to see them do a Disney show. With Disney theme.
Oh my God, yeah.
Disney music, Disney acts, Disney type stuff like that. I would love. If anybody could put on a good show and take the Disney branded characters,
right,
music and movies, and make them come alive on a stage,
right,
it would be Cirque.
Right.
And I think Disney should trust them and say, listen, you guys did it for Beatles stuff, and did they do an Elvis thing too?
Don't know.
Vegas reads?
No, Beatles.
I know they did
Vegas.
The Beatles thing. I think they did an Elvis type thing too. But listen, if the Beatles can trust them with their catalog, I think Disney can, loosen up the copyright infringement trademark,
right?
And say, listen, sir, you know, here is what we consider the 5 to 6 classic movies. Here are the characters. Here's the music. Go have at it. Go create a show.
Right.
You know,
that would be phenomenal.
I think that's what would really cap off Disney Springs and make it a go-to destination.
Right.
You know, so, that's me, you know, crazy thinking
again. Crazy thinking.
Yeah.
So after that, we were all herded down to Morimoto Asia.
Again.
Tony's worst. He hates that place so bad. He never goes there.
I went there 2 nights in a row.
My
punch card is getting full.
That's right. Morimoto Asia, gorgeous. They basically had the restaurant shut down just for us. So we had all the downstairs full. We had all the upstairs full. We were out on the back porch. It was great. We actually did a live Facebook live event. That was great. We had a lot of people show up on that. That was a lot of fun. But again, not a lot of new information.
Yeah. No. And if you don't know, Marimoto's is in the old building called Mannequins, if you go back to your Budger Island days.
Right.
So if you knew where Mannequins is, this is in that building. And it's still black inside. It's just a nicer looking black.
Right. It's right across from Raglan Road.
Yeah, right across from Raglan Road, which is going to be right in front of the Great Water.
Which
is going to be now part of the town center. And they have told us an opening date for town center, which is supposed to be May 15th.
Right.
So, they've now thrown that date out, but I don't think that matters anymore since they can push that. But,
right.
You know, there are two restaurants that I think everybody's looking forward to, and those are the two new signatures, Art Smith's Southern Kitchen, and Rick Bayless Frontera,
right,
is going to open up.
Yeah.
I don't think those are opening in May.
I think they're going to be more towards
the tail end of the summer. Also, Town Center is going to be where the new guest relations is going to be. Hmm. You know, bus stops. So there's a lot of things happening in that town center. And it's, we did a podcast on the list. There must be 20 some odd stores.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot.
Tommy Bahama.
Coca-Cola experience. Yeah. I don't know. I can't even.
They're long and dubious.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff. Now, over a little further away from that, STK still hasn't announced their date. They're getting pretty close. Windows are in, signs up.
Yep.
It looks like most of the exterior is now finished. And then right across from that is the other two places. Neverland,
Heidi Hole.
Yeah.
And then the whatever the restaurant is.
Yeah.
We're horrible podcasters. Yeah, Blaze. Yeah.
Blaze. Those two are I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the Neverland. Edison. Edison and then the Neverland, which is going to be the speakeasy
right.
Hidden down in the basement of
that's gonna be cool.
The Edison.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool.
They're only getting up to steel for those buildings, so I don't think those are going to open this summer. I think those are going to either be late this fall or early 2017.
Right.
If I was going to be a betting man on those.
Yeah. So I think over under is everything's going to be open by summer of 2017, correct?
That's what they're saying. That was the original plan.
Right.
Summer of 2017.
But if you have not seen Disney Springs lately, if you're still calling it Downtown Disney, yeah. Once you go there once, it'll be Disney Springs to you because it is amazing.
Yeah.
When they open up that town center hub from right outside Morimoto Asia, it's just gorgeous. Yeah. The man-made little pond, lagoon, lake, springs area that they made is gorgeous. And they've got a couple different little decks you can go out. And it's just going to be amazing. And I do know how they made that.
There was a video they did.
Yeah, it was really cool. We got to hear a little bit more about that on a previous event that I got to go on. So that was that. Then we were herded over to Hollywood Studios, and they took the entire Indiana Jones stunt show, and turned the stage floor into a dining area. We had a dessert party there. George Kalogridis, the president of Walt Disney World Resorts, spoke very briefly.
We had a more deep conversation with him at House of Blues.
That's right. That's right.
And we learned more at House of Blues than we did last night.
That's right. We
knew about Star Wars Land at that.
Right. Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
I just asked him, I said, you tell us what's happening. He said, Star Wars Land is coming and, blah, blah. I was like, oh my God. I feel like I need to sign an NDA.
Yeah, he was tired. He said I'm tired because we've been working out the final contracts for Star Wars Land and Toy Story Land, and the minute he said it, he stopped and was like, "Oh crap!" And I'm grabbing my phone like, "Can I get a quote on that?"
So that was like 2 years ago,
right? And so the dessert thing was great.
It was good.
It was, if you've ever been to...
it's always fun to hear the Disney executive talk.
Yes. Yes. And we've got plenty of that this week. Yes. Yeah. So he was great. Very short. And what he said is very true. Tonight was all about Star Wars. So that was great. So we were there, and at around 8 o'clock, they herded everybody about 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
They herded everybody out to a very special viewing area right in front of the Great Movie Ride. We saw the new Star Wars Galaxy
Symphony in the Stars, a galactic spectacular fireworks show. Rolls right off the tongue.
That's right. That's why I stumble with that, because I would just call it the Star Wars fireworks. Yeah.
Symphony in the Stars, a
galactic spectacular fireworks show. And at no time do you say the word Star Wars.
Nope.
So it's crazy. I'm stuck. And this is the precursor to the final show that they're going to put together. And the show last night was, if you have not seen it, we did a live video again on Facebook. Tony was doing that.
I did Periscope.
I was working with Travel with Rick again. So I was doing a Facebook event with Travel with Rick. Rick was actually doing Periscope.
I was Periscoping through, I think, Disney by the Numbers.
Yeah, we had about 4,000 people watching total. It was amazing. Yeah.
And listen, I don't think there was a person on the planet that missed the fireworks show.
Mm-mm.
I mean, there were more bloggers and media people blasting this event out to the world than you could shake a stick at.
And the thing is, when they were doing the Symphony in the Sky stuff, that was at Hollywood Studios, right?
Yes.
Before. Were the fireworks the same way, that low and that close to everybody, or were they higher up?
No, they were low, but they were a little further back, because back in those days, Yeah, they're allowed to bring them forward now because everything is closed back then.
Right.
All the streets of America and everything is closed. Back in those days, they had to shoot them a little further back because there was still
there's
a
people back there.
There was still a park back there.
Right.
You know, they closed some of the area, but they didn't close all of it.
Those fireworks, I'm not kidding. They felt like they were literally right over our heads.
Yeah.
It was
a really, really good show.
Awesome.
And they do some really interesting fireworks.
Right.
You don't see at Wishes or Illumination.
Right. Multicolored fireworks, like several colors within one explosion.
Burst,
It's really cool. The music, of course, John Williams. Yeah. You know, that's going to be one of those days where I'm going to have to take a day off when
it's
John's.
It's the first, like, five notes that kick off the.
Yeah.
You know, that Star Wars, and you're like. And it just lights up the sky.
Right.
It just, you know. They really do. I think they take the best pieces of that music.
Right.
And match it to really good fireworks.
Yeah, and it was spectacular. It was a lot of fun. After that, we got to go meet Kylo Ren.
Very interesting character.
The thing about...
It's the first time I actually feared for my life at a character.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, I've done the Chewbacca meet and greet. Have you met Chewbacca?
Not in that meet and greet, somewhere else, but yes.
When you meet Chewbacca, you basically are you're standing in there.
It's
he puts his arm around you. Yeah, hug with a rug. And he makes the sounds and they're coming from his mouth. It's the coolest thing. I don't know the technology to make that work.
Yeah.
Kylo Ren, I've never had to be given
instructions
on how to do a meet and greet. Basically, we were told they're going to let you into the room. This is not going to be one of those events where you can walk in and take pictures. He's not going to interact with you. He's not going to talk to you. He's going to talk at you.
Yeah.
And you're.
It wasn't a meet. She said it was in an encounter.
In an encounter, yeah. And
that's the word she used, encounter.
It's not going to be one of those warm and fuzzy. Basically, she in a nice way, she was saying, well, it's going to be warm and fuzzy. And I was shocked. I walked out of there. I was very uncomfortable when I walked out of there. And I think that's what they're going for because that character's so dark anyway.
And he got.
Nose to nose with
our friend Rick.
Yeah, so it was Rick and Tony and myself. And if you don't know, Rick Howard from Kingdom Magic Vacations, go check those guys out, travelwithrick.com. Good friend of both Tony and myself. So we were three numbskulls there. And
three Star Wars geeks.
Kylo was there. Yeah. And even the tone of the cast members inside the meet and greet were very,
seriously.
You know, very, you know, please step forward. He will present himself now, present yourself to Kylo Ren, and you stand there and he walks around and then he walks right up to Rick. And I swear to God, literally, and I am not kidding, nose to faceplate, right up in Rick's grill and, you know, talking
about where's the droid,
where's the map. And, I thought Rick was going to take a swing. I swear. I mean, it was, and Rick.
I really wanted to make faces like, nah,
yeah.
I got the droid.
And Rick was
just to see what you know. What would that?
Yeah, what were they gonna do?
What would that character have done in that encounter?
Right.
If I had made you know comments about, hey, I got the droid. Come on.
What are you gonna do?
Hey, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
Hey, come at me, buddy.
So. So he does that. He kind of looks me over. He looks Tony over. And then he goes to the end of the line and puts his arm out like he's doing some kind of force thing. And then they take the picture and they say, then he's like, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah.
Get out. And I'm like, well, that sucked. And that was it. That was the whole experience. It was really off-putting.
Yeah. I will tell you this. You know, this was a special event for us. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of us there. His meet and greet gets a long line.
Oh, yeah.
It's up to 90 minutes during the day. I normally would not tell you to get a fast pass for a meet and greet, but if you want to meet this character, I'm going to tell you to go get a fast pass for this character because it's not easy. And even Chewbacca now during the day is also a tough meet and greet. His line gets pretty long, too.
Right.
And it's sad to say that you have to waste a fast pass for the characters, but... If you don't, you could be waiting up to 90 minutes, which is a long time for a character meet and greet. And they don't let it, you know, it's not like other characters, you know, where it's a kind of love and shove kind of thing, where they kind of push you through. I mean, you actually go into a room and the door is closed and it's only two, or it's only your party that's in there.
Right.
It's not, you know, like, this, you know, you're just beating past this character.
Yeah, it's a lot like the meet and greet with the princesses or Mickey at the theater at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. I mean, even that is kind of fed in. They bring more than just your
right.
family. This is just three people.
Right. You're locked in a room with
this crazy
a Knight of Ren.
Yeah.
And it really feels like that. And it was really well done. He's the hottest character out there. Even when I met Darth Vader at a meet and greet.
Yeah.
We did the Star Wars Galactic Breakfast thing.
Mm.
And he was there. And he was just like, he was standing there. And he put his arms out. And
yeah.
I go and I got a little hug from Vader.
Vader is a lot nicer.
Yeah, Vader's like your grandpa. Kylo Ren is like not. It was weird.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Then we got to go over. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there was one thing. That this all took place in the launch bay. This is where the in the launch bay. And that's a giant Star Wars shop. Nothing more, really.
It's the best gift shop in the world.
Yeah. It's the gift shop where John would spend his paycheck, if allowed.
If my wife would let me. Park Hopper said yes, I would go like, ka-ching!
But also, one of the things I had set up there was this little model of the Chinese theater and what the new Star Wars show will look like once all the construction that they're putting in place right now.
Right.
They're building these two projection towers. So think of Wishes, not Wishes, what is that?
The Castle Projection Show.
Yeah, the Castle Projection Show.
For lack of a better term.
Whatever the name of that is now, I can't even think. They're going to do that. So they're going to have these two auxiliary pop-up screens on the side or top of the Chinese theater. Then they're going to project something, Star Wars stuff, on these screens and the theater itself, do fireworks. The top, for you people that are old enough to know, Sorcerer in the Sky kind of ended with a giant Sorcerer Mickey blowing up from the top of the Chinese theater.
Wow.
It was a giant, you know, air thing of, yeah. Yeah. 10 guys blowing into it.
I hate my job.
But they're going to shoot this giant
lightsaber
into the sky. You're going to be able to see it for miles from what this little thing is. Now, I don't know if it's going to be fireworks, propane, gas, water. I don't know what liquid, fluid, or gas they're going to set on fire to shoot this giant green thing in the sky.
Yeah.
It's going to be a giant search. I don't know. But and then I think there's going to be two others on the top of the other projection areas that they're building, too.
Will they move?
No, they're just going to be straight up from what I saw. And I would love to post pictures and videos. They would not let us take any picture, video.
Yeah.
You can see it, and then you got to walk away.
Yeah.
It's like they were going to do the Men in Black mind wipe.
Yeah, they'll put it on the blog here pretty soon once they finalize.
They do have one image.
Right.
Of what that's going to look like. But
right.
this was actually
they'll put the
whole video thing. So it was really cool, and I found that more interesting than Kylo Ren beat up.
They'll probably put it on YouTube. And that's the thing about we're delving into the other part of something else, but there's been a lot of things that had I known coming here, I would have been able to sign up for that I just didn't know existed.
Yeah.
And there wasn't signage or anybody saying, oh, we've got this great thing over here. I think you just stumbled upon it.
Yes.
Because I was walking around trying to find stuff because I'd been in, you know,
launch
bay before.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I thought you were going to say was we had two separate stormtrooper encounters.
Mm.
We had one earlier in the day where we both got popped because we had our little lanyards on and Stormtrooper made a beeline to both of us and wanted to check our papers. And that was a unique, you know, you can't stand in a line for that. They're just constantly moving around.
Walking around.
So that was really neat. I've never had a Stormtrooper, you know, stop me and you know, actually interact with me.
Yeah.
And the other one was towards the end of the evening, there was some alcohol. I'm not going to say there wasn't. And some people decided to, hey, we're going to go hug up on the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
And they discovered really quickly that you just don't touch a Disney character unless Disney wants you to touch a character. They were quickly exited off the character.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are stormtroopers that do walk around pretty frequently.
Yeah.
Around the Chinese theater area.
Yep.
And around Launch Bay.
Yep.
They don't post for pictures. They won't sign anything. But they do pick on people.
Yes, they do.
They select people to interact with.
Random selection.
Random selection.
Just like the security.
If you have on a goofy shirt or you maybe you're a kid walking around with a lightsaber,
right.
You know, they'll encounter. They seem to go after kids with sabers, lightsabers. Yeah. They like to pick on them.
Yeah.
Because they're easy targets.
Well, that's, you know, they're probably going to get more out of that experience than you or I would. Now, I'm a geek, so I was like.
I know, I had fun.
It was cool. I was trying to figure out how that he was controlling the voice and and all that good stuff. And they talk to you. They talk
to
you.
Talk.
That's not like it's a speaker 10 foot behind you. It's literally coming from his head.
Yeah, it's coming from his head.
So that was pretty neat. And
I
then.
Want to tap on his helmet.
Hello.
Hello.
And then the last thing is we got to go over to. Now, you tapped out because you didn't want to ride it.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you because I kind of got a little nauseous myself. Is we rode the new Star Tours and they basically just made sure that we all saw the Jakku. Which was neat. I'm glad that I waited to ride until after I saw the movie because now I know what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
But it was cool. Rick was the spy. It was Rick and me. The only ones in the
really?
Car, and Rick was the spy.
Oh, there's two people.
Yeah, they caught Rick. And so that was a cool experience. That was great. It's much better having seen the movie. And so that was our first night. Then we came back here to the boardwalk and well, I came back here to the boardwalk. Tony went elsewhere. And we crashed. And then I got up this morning and went to Epcot. There was a breakfast at Epcot. Basically, they took the area between the Akershus. I can never say that word.
Yeah.
Where they do the Norway, the breakfast, princess meet and greet.
Yeah.
And then the Stave Church and all the way back to the construction for the new ride. They put tables and chairs and they had breakfast there and they had some opportunities for some information if you sought it out, but it wasn't like they're making an announcement. Basically, they showed some pictures from Soaring Around the World, artist renderings. I've seen more artist renderings this week
than the artist that rendered it.
Yeah. And then at one point, a couple of trumpeters came out and blasted their horns and then Queen Elsa and Princess Anna. No, Queen Anna and Princess Elsa. No, Queen Elsa, Princess. I hate Frozen. The two main characters for Frozen came out and did meet and greets with everybody. And that was kind of neat. And that was it. And then we went over and had lunch later on over at Hollywood Studios again.
Right.
And saw the Sunset Theater in a new design.
Yeah.
And learned all about Vacation Club and Adventures by Disney and Cruise Line. And
by land, by sea, by air.
By land, by sea, by Disney is the catchphrase. And again, that wasn't, you know, just got some great information.
Hey, you know what?
What?
There's another DVC coming, John.
There is. That was a one big exciting thing. They're
Do you know where?
Yes. Which is odd because they're basically building cabins on the water. I'll be your cabin on the water.
But they did make an interesting comment that they will be bigger than the bungalows at the Poly. And
correct.
I think that's the biggest complaint over there.
Yes, they are teeny tiny. They are teeny tiny.
Yeah.
But the thing is they're considering that an additional DVC.
Yeah.
It's not part of the villas.
No.
So it'll be so it's their new DVC. So they're right. Saying that they're, yeah, I see what you're doing there, Disney.
Yeah.
I see what you're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, well, the rumors, I'm hearing a lot of rumors. I was there last weekend. I don't know if I spoke about this. You know, they're moving, they're redoing the pool. They're building, you know, where Trout Pass is, they're actually moving Trout Pass.
Mm.
They're going to move it a little further down towards, away from the pool. And they're actually going to, I think, put it out in the water and build a big patio area around it. So people, it's gonna also be like a little mini quick service too.
Right.
We'll actually have more food options. Well, no food options there, so more food. And I think that will also then service some of the pool
right.
people too, kind of like what they did at the Poly where you can get food at the pool.
Right.
I think they're gonna do that there too. And the other thing I heard, so new quick service, they're moving Trout Pass, a bigger bar, a bigger patio, we heard bigger cabins. I know there's a second building coming, but like Ken was saying, who's in charge of DVC, Ken Pot Rock.
Had the best name at Disney.
Yeah, Pot Rock.
My name's Pot Rock. Ken Pot Rock.
Like Pop Rocks? It's interesting that they're calling new. So the people that own it there already are not inclusive of those cabins and the new DVC. You want to stay there, you'll have to buy a new contract for those. You will those will not be part of your wilderness. So if you wanted to stay, that's not your home resort. You'll have
gotcha.
To buy, you'll have to right. buy
just new. Like you would if you were going over to Grand Floridian.
Correct. Right. Right. So if you wanted to stay in those cabins, well, that's not your home resort. You'd have to have a new contract with that new DVC.
But you can use points to stay.
You
there.
Can use your points, obviously, to stay there, but you can't call it your home resort
right.
because it's not part of your contract. So that, I think, is making some of the original DVC wilderness people a little upset. This is like he says, it's the first time they're going back to a place that has DVC and putting more DVC.
Right.
So this is new territory for them.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Grand Floridian did not have DVC.
Did not.
And Polynesia did not have DVC.
Did not.
Cool. Good on you, Disney. Good on you. Way to use that land. So that's that was this afternoon. And tonight, what we have on the agenda is we're going over to Disney's Animal Kingdom.
We're going to see pictures.
And we're going to see more artist renderings. I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, there's a rumor. We can say the rumor because nobody's going to hear this until after.
We'll hear it tomorrow.
Yeah.
That'll be about it.
Yeah.
Hear it's too late.
They'll hear it afterwards. Here are Joe Rohde and Jane Goodall will be at tonight's event.
Joe Rohde and Jane Goodall.
Yeah.
That'd be great. So looking forward to that. So I'm going to definitely ask Rohde about the Disco Yeti. Can't we get that fixed? I mean, come on, seriously.
I think we should sell him on the Turn It Into Frozen attraction. Turn it into
Joe.
Turn it into Arendelle. Listen, Joe, I got a great idea. Turn it into Arendelle.
That's right.
Turn that into the Abominable Snowman.
Yep.
Yeah, just put maybe a little bit more snow on it.
You don't have to do anything to it.
Call it the Frozen.
Just call whatever. It Arendelle.
Yeah.
Let's call it Arendelle.
Yeah.
And, brilliant idea.
You can have the princess. And then you can say, listen, Joe, then you have Frozen here. Then you're satisfying.
All four parks.
Yeah, all four parks. You're satisfying the contractual agreement that you'll have it in all four parks.
Right.
Bob will be happy. Tom Staggs, well, he doesn't care.
He's gone.
Calabrese will be happy, and everybody will live happily ever after.
I've heard that they're going to pull Anna and Elsa out of the Magic Kingdom when this thing is ready
I've
at Epcot.
I've heard it too.
Right.
Seeing is believing, my friend.
Right. So
I would love for those princesses to get their building back.
Yes.
I think Cinderella, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, those princesses would love to have their building back.
So tonight the plan is we're going to go see the Tree of Life with the It's projection show. That's the rumor. And then we'll get to experience one of the street parties that they're going to have on Discovery Island. And over under on the Rivers of Life.
I think we're going to see bits and pieces of it,
right.
But not the complete show.
And I won't even joke about Pandora. But it's, yeah.
I think what we're not going to see is the fireflies, which are the alleged drones.
Yeah, I would love to see the drones.
I don't think we're going to see that.
That'd be so cool,
I think we're going to see some paper mache animals on barges, because any monkey can make a boat move.
Pretty much, apparently.
.com.
Yep, and before we let you guys go, definitely want to give a shout-out to our Patreons, David Maruka, Stacey Miller, and Willie Walter. Thank you guys so much for being Patreons. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can visit patreon.com/DisneyParksPodcast. It's a great way for you to support the show, help keep the show up and running, keep it live, paying for hosting, that kind of thing. Plus, we've got some really cool ideas we want to do during the year that's going to require some financial resources that we just don't have at our disposal. And that's where you guys come in. You guys can help make the show even greater than we think that it already is. And we thank you guys for all of your support. Everything from a dollar to as much as you would like to contribute monthly helps us out. And we appreciate you guys supporting the show in that way. And basically, T, we only got one thing left to do.
See you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through.